He'd been careful, double-dipping at convenience stores or markets, shuffling money around to make it nearly impossible to track. Not that the people chasing him were that good. Still, he preferred to play it safe. At his cabin back in the mountains of Tennessee, he had weapons, munitions, cash, and precious metals stored up for a rainy day. What others would say was a hitting-the-fan sort of contingency. The fan wasn't on yet, but it was plugged in with a fresh pile of manure sitting in a bucket close by. Even the purchase of the cabin and its property had been concealed with the greatest of care. Dak used an LLC along with a subsidiary corporation to add two layers of anonymity to ownership. The military had cleared his name and restored his benefits and his bank accounts, but Dak wasn't stupid enough to use them. He wasn't about to make it easy on Tucker. The former officer had essentially been Dak's boss, though that term wasn't often used. Tucker was in charge of operations near Hamrin in Iraq and made a series of career-ending mistakes, the first of which was wrongfully accusing Dak Harper of attempted murder and the betrayal of the men on his Delta Force team. Even when Tucker learned the truth about what really happened, that Harper had been the one betrayed and left for dead in a desert cave, the colonel pushed ahead, unwilling to admit he was wrong. That vindictiveness cost him everything. When Dak was cleared of all wrongdoing, Tucker was dismissed, given benefits, his pension, the whole nine, all in exchange for his quiet retirement. Dak knew the man did not intend to go silently. He blamed Dak for his fall from power, a collapse that blocked the colonel from climbing higher up the ladder. It was no secret Tucker had his eyes set on making general, and perhaps someday to even loftier positions within the government. Now, none of that was possible. Knowing Tucker, Dak figured the man was bent on revenge, and he wouldn't stop until his vengeance was fulfilled. With connections and resources all over the world, Tucker was more than capable of deploying mercenaries who were willing to exchange ethics and morals in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. Dak knew there was only one way he would truly be safe. That would be when Tucker was dead. Until then, Dak had to keep moving. That's why the job he'd discovered was so fortuitous. He'd saved up a few financial resources, but those reserves could run low if tapped too often, and he didn't want to risk going back to the cabin in the mountains more than necessary. Now he needed money. He turned his head and looked out the balcony door of the condo he'd rented in Midtown Atlanta. It was one of the newer high-rises built in the last 5 years, contemporary and modern, with clean white paint and gray-brown hardwood flooring. The place had been purchased, he assumed, to be a rental, a common practice in the internet age when people could rent out their homes on apps and websites. 20 stories below, the bustling city of Atlanta churned with activity. It was still dark outside in the early morning, but people were already in the middle of their commute or traveling through town to get a head start on the traffic. In a few hours, Dak would meet his new employer, though he still had reservations about the in-person aspect of taking the job. For all he knew, it could be a trap, an elaborate setup by the colonel. Dak would take precautions. He always did. So far, everything checked out, but he wouldn't let down his guard. He scooped up the money cards and identification on the desk and stuffed them into his front pockets. He spun around and picked up his black tactical bag, his few belongings having already been packed. Dak traveled light, only carrying a few clean sets of clothes and the other necessities. He didn't like being on the run, always looking over his shoulder, but he was accustomed to it at this point. His former line of work had prepared him well for it. Dak only hoped that someday he could live a normal life, whatever that meant. He turned and made for the door but paused when he saw a shadow move past the threshold on the floor on the other side. He frowned and ducked into the bathroom to the left, immediately wishing he'd grabbed one of the kitchen knives opposite him. They were 15 to 20 feet away, so close, yet so far. Dak lowered his pack down to the floor, pressing his shoulder against the doorframe as he watched the shadow linger just beyond the entrance. He sighed. So much for peace and quiet, he thought.